Morning. And welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, Bible's own way. And we was talking about earlier today that the word dispensation is in the Bible. And when we share about the name of our church and stuff, it does give you a chance to, an opportunity to say, have you ever heard of dispensational Bible teachings? And that's what we teach here. We rightly divide the word of truth. Number 32, we're going to sing A Solid Rock. We'll sing all four this morning. Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest pain. I wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to veil his face, I rest upon the changing grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On cross the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Number 3. His love is mercy and his grace. Support and help me run the race. When all around my soul gives way, he still is all my hope and stay. On cross a solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When a conqueror's trumpet sound, oh yes, I will in him be found. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On such a solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Amen. It's wonderful to know that we do have a solid rock, amen. If it was us, some of us be on shifting sands and our foundations, you ever build a house or anything like that, if you got to have a sure foundation, don't you? You got to have it on rock, a solid rock. And years ago when they built these houses and stuff, you know, these big old stones, cornerstones, and they're still there. Anyway, good morning. Good to see everybody. We're in lesson 48. Be turning to Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10. As we study the Word of God rightly divided, and we're using the King James Bible, the authorized version for the English-speaking people. And we're also thankful for the curriculum of Grace School of Bible. So I hope you enjoyed that. And we look back, we talked about the Tower of Babel's getting ready to come down the road here. But in Genesis chapter 10, verse 6, that's where we left off at. Look at verse 1. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after flood. The sons of Japheth, and he names them. All the way down to verse 5, it says, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families and their nations. Then verse 6, these are the sons of Ham, and he names them. And Canaan's one of them, that type of thing. Then Genesis chapter 10, verse 7, and the sons of Cush, and he names them. And verse 8, And Cush begat Nimrod. He became a mighty one in the earth. Now Nimrod, we're going to talk about him for a few minutes. Nimrod is going to be a problem because he's a rebellious figure. A lot of people say the root word for Nimrod is a leopard. You know, and I want to remind you in Revelation chapter 13, who comes on the scene? The Antichrist. And Nimrod is the second great type of the Antichrist in the Bible. And notice what he says about him. He became to be a mighty one in the earth. Nimrod comes on the scene. He is a mighty one. Verse 9. He is a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Nimrod becomes famous. He's a famous man. He had a saying about him. He was going to be world-renowned leader. He's going to be called a mighty hunter. If he's a mighty hunter before the Lord, people are going to know who he is, won't he? And then verse 10, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and was Iraq, and Akkad, and Calah, in the land of where? Shinar. And out of that land went forth Hashor, and built Nineveh, and the city of Rehoboth and Calah. And Rezin between Nineveh and Calah, the same great city. So all these big cities are popping up here. He goes on to Mesraim. Now, one thing we've got to fully understand, we may not understand, all of the evil in Nimrod's situation until you get to the issue of Babel in chapter 11. You know, we don't understand that until we get to what I'm trying to say is we don't fully understand the problem that Nimrod's doing until we get to chapter 11. And because of Babel in chapter 11, you'll see internationalism come on the scene. You'll have the internationalism, denominationalism, if you will, non-denominationalism, plot to take over the government of the world. We'll see it when we get there. Go back to verse 8, chapter 10, verse 8. And Cush begat Nimrod. He became to be the mighty one in the earth. Now, Nimrod, if you will, is the first New World leader. Now, many of you may have heard about New World Order. You might understand what's going on in the world. You have leaders out there trying to get everybody under one roof, eat bugs, if you will, abstain from meat and all that good stuff. And the thing is, he is the first world leader, Nimrod is. And they were right out on the precipice of the new world, wouldn't they? They stepped right out there. And after the flood, he came the first new world ruler. The administration of the human government that God had ordained in Genesis 9 with Noah under divine principles of establishment for the human race. What did we find out about that? That's what we're looking at. He continued until it was subverted by this man right here. He's the one who starts to change it. And he's who established a kingdom in Babel and what which is a new authority was recognized. Look, we've got something new. Let's follow him. And no longer was God Almighty and the institution of human government that he established was recognized. No longer was the word that God spake to them. So they're not listening to him. And you think about, you think Noah and his boys were still around at this time? Think about now. Yeah, they were still there. And when this stuff was going on, this stuff didn't happen in a test tube. It didn't happen in a corner somewhere hiding behind a door. It's plain sight out there. That's why it should not surprise you the things that's going on in our world, whether it's religious or political. It's been going on for a while. You know, the education system, the political system, the things that you grew up with said, don't it bother you sometimes what's going out there, especially education and stuff? You're like, that would never happen when I was in school. Well, it happened. and it just didn't nonchalantly, it warmed up. What do they say about a frog? You throw a frog in hot water, it'll jump right out. But you put them in there and you turn it up and it's warm it a little bit. Oh, it feels so nice in here. And he'll stick around. And the Word of God, here's the thing though. The Word of God was available and knowable to those people. They still had it out there. They just got off the ark not so long ago. I'll share with you from Genesis chapter 10 to Genesis chapter 11, 150 years passed by. That ain't too long, is it? If you think about it, the things your grandmother told you and your grandfather told you and he learned from him and he learned from him, those stories was there. Some of them written them down. You know, I like Ancestry.com. I'm looking at some things that, you know, I find out about my ancestors. I'm like, wow, I didn't know this. My mother's dad's brother got killed in a lumber accident down in the Appalachian Mountains. That's all they had to do, I guess. He was a young guy, but he had like 5 kids. And you know what the mother did? Put them in an orphanage. And that's kind of strange because my sister's saying usually if the woman dies, the man would put them in an orphanage. Because, you know, people back then, you probably know some people, they had 8, 9, 10 kids, and they're like, you're going to have to go live with so-and-so because we can't afford to feed you. That's sad. And they was in an orphanage, and they waited for their mama to come pick them up. And years later, they got out. Some of them got adopted, but they ended up living by their mom, and she had got remarried and all. I've got all this stuff. And I'm talking to their mother. I'm talking to their children now. You know, that type of thing. So that connection, how would you like to find out that you had cousins lived across town that you never knew? Genealogy is something else, but I know what God says about searching endless genealogy. It is endless. You can spend a lot of time. But they were still there, and the Word of God was there. But a new authority was established, authority of what we want to build us a name. They wasn't satisfied with what God told them to do, Japheth in that area, Shem in that area, Ham in that area, and they're all working together. Do you remember that? That's chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11, 1 says, And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Now, Nimrod is going out, and he gets to Shinar? Verse 3, and they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a what? Tower whose top may reach into heaven and let us make us a name. Lest we be scattered abroad into the face of the whole earth. So basically they're saying, let us have a political entity and a city here. Let us urbanize the area and let us build a tower whose top may reach to heaven. This is not about building a tower, by the way, that reaches 1,600,000 miles out in the atmosphere, if you will. He says, we want to build us a city and a tower. We want to be a distinct political entity like Cain did back in chapter 4. You remember what happened back there? Think about when we talked about that. We talked about a city and what it means in Genesis chapter 4. God sent Cain out into the earth and said, you'll be a what? A vagabond. You'll be a wanderer, and you'll not be able to live in one place. And what did Cain do? Cain went out, and what did he do? He lived in the land of what? Nod, where he knew his wife, and what did he do? He built a city. And what do you do with a city? If you're going to build it, what are you going to do with it? And you're going to live in it. And he built a great urban monopolis, an absolute rebellion against Almighty God. That's what Cain did. That's why we talk about the way of Cain. The spirit of city sometimes can be pleasant to the flesh, right? It's 24 hours a day. You know, people flock to New York City, a city that never sleeps, right? All constant stuff all the time. You know, and then you ever go there and live there, and then you come down to those little towns and cities around here, like, they close at 12 o'clock? You know, it's just getting started. Well, you know as well as I know, nothing good happens after 12 o'clock, you know, in the world. But the thing was, that's what he did. You know why Cain built a city? Remember? Why would Cain build a city? Was it godly that he was doing? God told him to build a city? It was man, it's a monument to man's rebellion against God. I shared this with you before and I'll share it again. When you're in a tractor truck like myself, you're probably 3 to 4 feet above your regular four-wheel, right? You're sitting up high. And when you're coming into the city, there's certain things you can see. You can see the tallest monument that man's built, and you can see the little church steeple that man's built. You know, I'm comparing, like, whoa, that, you know, they're competing against each other. Because what does a man do with the big mega churches and stuff? Way up there. Speaking of which, brother sent us a video about the mega churches in Ohio. Have you ever heard of Akron Baptist Temple? Nothing now. At one time, it said they had 5,500 Sunday school people going to Sunday school there. And they showed this video, and I'll show it with you. And these three boys go in there. And what they did is this church group bought it for their pastor or something. And I go buy it when I go pick up in Cargill and stuff. I go buy it, and the church did not want to be divided and leave that. So they bought it for $1.5 million, and the church didn't want to move there. And these guys went in and videotaped it. And he goes, it's huge. It's probably one of the biggest churches in Ohio at the time. But anyway, people don't want to do it. Guess what happens to those buildings? It's sit empty. So what he's going to do, it's a rebellion. And that's what a spirit of the city is, a rebellion against God. And if you're going to minister in the urban areas, you better know that. You better know when you go over there and what these cities are, who you're going to face and what's going to happen there. You know, it ain't much different in the counties anymore, is it? You go over there and if you witness somebody, oh, yeah, that's what you believe. You know, we're no different today than they was in Noah's days. Just remember that. The thing is, Genesis chapter 1 through 11 is still affecting us today. We're going to build us a city. We're going to build us a monument. That's what they're saying. And you see it all through the Bible. Do you know what God told them to do? What did he tell Noah and them to do? Told them to scatter and what? Replenish the earth. But we're going to build us a city and stay right here, lest we what? Scatter. Abroad upon the face of the earth, verse 4 says. They built a city in the name of the rebellion against God Almighty. And you see people today, and we read, building a lot of things in the name of God. And that's not what God's doing. God wants faithful people. And if you get together, what's a pillar and ground of truth? Who is the pillar and ground of the church? The local church. It doesn't matter if you're 5 or 25. 25 or 225. You're the local church in this area. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 5 of us meeting today. That's more than what Lot had. It's So no brimstone and fire is going to hit today. Praise God Almighty. But look, we are going to build us a tower, and God says to worship Him this way. We're going to build us a cathedral out here, a tower. And in Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is as a strong tower. The righteousness runneth into it and is saved and safe. We're going to build us a religious system out there, and we're going to go up to the top of the building, and we're going to offer sacrifices. This is the tower, right? And we're going to have such impressive good works that God Almighty will accept us. What does God do about works, guys? What do you know about that? Has He accepted it? He rejects it. You go all through the Bible and you see it, you will see Baal worship. We talked about Baal worship begins right there in the tower and here in Bible with its priests and its sacrifice and its high places. Now, as you go across this United States of America, you'll see those Baal worships. You'll see those high places. You can go out there in the desert, Arizona, and see temples of that there's sacrifices and stuff. I shared this with you before, that one big old looked like a tower up in the desert, and the National Park Association. Yeah, this is where they lived. I'm looking at it. I said, this is where they worship. That's what I said, this is a temple. This is where they sacrifice and stuff. You line that up all the way across the world, and you see the same things going on. Worship. Look what we're doing. God's not into that stuff. Why the high places? Genesis chapter 11. Who said, I will send up? Lucifer said that, and they're trying to be like their who? Daddy. And so you see that to get up above everybody else, look at me, look what I'm doing. Look at the big buildings that we have. And the Incas, you know who the Incas are? And many, many others, they have those steps that go up and up and up and up. Think about the pyramids. Up and up and up. The way they offer up the sacrifices at the top. You know who invented that, don't you? The Incas didn't invent that. Who are we talking about? Satan and who? Where are we at in the Bible? The entire Bible. They started that. The New World people started that. Now, it goes all the way back to there. I share this with many people all the time. And they worry about the New World Order and what's happening, you know. And one of the presidents said, we're 1,000 points of light. We're a New World Order. And you hear that term all the time now. And I'm like, it started way back here. It started way back here. And it's been infiltrating the world system. It's controlled by who? Who's the God of this world? You think He's going to do godly things or misgodly things? You think He would not promote man-stealing? You know what that is? Slavery. Human trafficking. You think He would not promote anything godly? 91 times in your Bible, the word high places is used. And it's first used in Leviticus chapter 26. Verse 30, the Lord says, and I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcass upon the carcass of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. Those high places upon high places upon high places are no good. There's a reason why they're high. Look what I'm doing. The last time it's mentioned, Ephesians chapter 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses and where? In high places. Those high places are used. Babylon back there, and there's one in Revelation 17. And there's an unbroken string of religious traditions from there to the Antichrist. We use this timeline here, way back here after Adam, all the way over there is a line of Baal worship, the Bible calls it. And it's not, and it's never been good, has it? They're going to build a city. That is what Nimrod is doing right there. And the two things that Satan does to destroy nationalism is, number one, he promotes internationalism. Internationalism is what he is after here. One city to reign over all the cities, and they will all be together with one language, one tongue, one government, one world language, and one world religion. Universalism of the religion and internationalism are the two things that Satan uses in his policy of evil against the nations. If he could get Israel to fall to worship other gods, and then he can change the religions, you see it going on today? You see people following false gods every day, every day. And if you're going to counter internationalism without producing and raising up the ugly destruction head of racism, you better know how to do it with God, so to do it with nationalism. That's why wars start. They try to conquer each other and all that. But to avoid that, you need to understand what God says about the oneness of the church, the body of Christ. You'll wind up with such spiritual confusion and darkness if you don't. If you don't understand how to rightly divide the word of truth, guys, you'll never understand what's going on out there. Truly understand. And we need to promote that, don't we? We need to promote the gospel, the grace of God. We need to promote the on our church page, on Facebook church page, I post different questions and stuff about, what was that one I posted? About when you saw a distinction between circumcision and uncircumcision, when you saw a racial distinction, what time period was you in? And, you know, and people like, well, you're in grace. I'm like, no. You know, I'm letting them, you know, I'm not belittling anything. It's when you see a distinction in times past, or excuse me, it is time past. There's no distinction but now. There's one church, one Lord, one Savior, seven ones in Ephesians. So Genesis chapter 10, verse 9, Nimrod was a mighty hunter before the Lord. But it didn't stop. It's still going. Somebody says, isn't that good? Wouldn't you think that's good? To have a mighty hunter before the Lord? Didn't he do what he did before the Lord? You would think that. Look what I'm doing. Look how many people I've got now. Look. You got a mighty preacher before the Lord. Look back at Genesis chapter 6, verse 11 to understand that right quick. Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before the Lord. Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before the world. It wasn't just man. So what does that mean? And the earth was filled with violence. And the God did what? And God looked upon the earth. And what is he saying? The earth was corrupt and saw it, didn't he? God saw it. And when God looked out there, he saw the violence and the corruption of mankind. Not just man, mankind. And behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupt his way upon the earth. He beheld it. Now, this is just my line of thinking. I think this is when the dinosaurs turned on the dinosaurs. All of the earth was corrupt. And this is what you have here with Nimrod right here. He was a mighty hunter. He began to rule by force over the people. He was the world's first monarch. He had a spirit of conquering mighty hunters. Now, hunters are interesting, aren't they? Hunters use two things to win. First, they use force because they have to bring down the prey and either kill it or capture it. But number two, they have to use great cunning, and they have to use the cunning first. Now, many of you might have deer hunted. I've deer hunted a couple times in my life, and people goes out, and some serious hunters know exactly what to do. They wash their things in deer dandruff, and they put scent out where there's scent, because they can smell you, a deer can. I remember down there, I went hunting with my brother-in-law, and I hadn't killed nothing. I said, I'm going to kill the first thing come across. And it wasn't doe season. It was, you had to go. And he was like, oh. And he stuck me high up in a tree, and he stayed in a deer blind. Here comes this doe. And he told me after, he goes, I got to think, please, Ed, don't shoot that deer. I was eating a nutrition bar, and the paper dropped before he got there. And that deer, he right under my feet, and he looked straight up like, where did it fall? And I just moved my eyes just a little bit, and it went, whoo. They're cunning. Two deer yesterday down at the house. I videotaped it. And they come out of that little swamp area, and they come over on that grass because it had been snowing. We got, I told you, 3 inches of better snow down there. They came out, and they were two of them. And I videotaped it. And them dogs are starting. About that time of day, the dogs know when they ask to go out. They say, can we go outside? No, they don't. You know, they start fidgeting. And they know them deer right there. And I'm whistling at the deer, and they, put their head up. And they waiting for somebody to come down them steps. So I put the leashes on the dog this time and took them down and put them in the pen. Otherwise, they were gone. You know, them dogs are hunters. And you can't blame them. They're just who they are. So, the thing is about, you have to get a license. You have to do all this stuff now. But the thing about being cunning, Nimrod was a mighty hunter, a successful hunter, someone with a great prowess before the Lord. God saw what he's doing, didn't he? God's not ignorant. Man's ignorant. And you know what the root word of ignorant is? Ignore. People puts blinders on and they totally ignore. They ignore you when you share the truth. Hopefully they're going like this. Take those blinders off and whoa. And I hope that's happening to you guys. I hope it's like one time I had blinders on. You know, my mind was struck with denominationalism and man's teaching. But when I believe this word, and I hope you believe this word too, that you know this is right, and man, you're wrong. You know, this word is right no matter what. And when we line ourselves up with that, we can understand all through the Bible, God used people. And we always say, when we talk about right division, God never changes, right? Never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who changed? Man's changed. And God's given everybody in any dispensation an opportunity to come to Him. And come to Him on His terms. You know, wouldn't it be sad that God don't lower that standard at that cross? You know what I mean? The standard is set. And that should be in our lives. No matter what, He did not lower that standard so you and I could get in there. He sent His Son down to die for us so we wouldn't have to die. And we should think about that. And next week we'll pick up on a little bit more in Genesis chapter 11. Lest we do what God wants and let us build a city. You know, basically they're saying, I don't care what God wants. You know anybody like that? And you're looking at them, and I'm thankful every day when I get up, I got another day of grace. And then there's days I lay my head down and say, Lord, come quickly. Come quickly. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for Thanksgiving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.